We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Matt Steinmetz, Bonte Hill, and Joe Shasky with you. Daryl the Guru Johnson currently in the Yoon with smoke coming out of his ears. As he's been talked about today, because we've talked about pickup basketball.
And the bottom line is
nobody can vouch that Guru's ever been an all-star on the pickup basketball court.
Steiny, we're going to need Shasky to call in on Monday. What's because up? He it's created a lot of this smoke. He created a lot of this smoke, and we're going to – because you told the story about detention.
It is true. I've never seen
the time slot. The time slots you talked about. Guru is going to be coming down your road, and we're going to take the brunt of that. So I'm going to need you when Guru starts going off to call us on Monday.
Okay, first off, he's going to try – I already know what he's going to say. It's like Eminem in the 8 Mile battle raps. If I'm going to come out and use whatever the biggest slander against me is on the front end, then I'm fully prepared. Because I know what he's going to say. You bailed on the Warriors World Tournament. And I'm going to tell him, yeah, because I'm coaching CYO and we had a game that day.
Sorry,
I didn't prioritize this Warriors World Tournament above, you know, coaching. It's what I do first. Sorry, there's priorities in this thing, baby.
Okay,
and every time we've had pickup games since then, Guru's the one who flakes. He comes up
with
all kinds of excuses.
St. Rose Hospital, fellas. Great show. I'm taking Norm to his doctor's appointment. He's in with the doctor. I'm in the parking lot. We're listening to that segment. And
wait,
I want to
what's up? It's your boy Guru.
Okay. Who knows if
this is
real
Guru
or not?
This is real. I got Guru on the phone.
Donnie, I'm upset because you're falling for the antics. You can't judge a movie by somebody else's recommendation, so don't dare let them slander me to where you're already done watching me play, which I've been telling you to do so. So take a grain of salt. And then Bonte.
Oh, but the highlights.
I gave you everything I got. I told you I loved your coaching. You saw my foul, but I got to take you to school here. Now, I've been called Bill Laimbeer, and my boy Handy called me Rodman. Rodman's a Hall of Famer. I set the tone defensively. So why would you laugh at that? That was an insult. And then Butch. This is what hurts me. You needed somebody to show up to play the kids on a Friday happy hour night. I didn't go to happy hour. Everybody else did. I was there for you, and you guys treated me like Yao Ming because I had a physical mismatch on the kids, so I wanted to dance with the ball, but you guys had tunnel vision and wanted me to be on the block. So, Steiny, don't dare give up on watching your boy play until you watch me dance.
And I'm going to help me.
I give you my word on that one. I give you my word. You're right, Guru. I'm not drawing any conclusions.
Bonte, help me.
He's done with you. I'm like, he ain't even watched me play. But Bonte,
hey, Guru.
Oh.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Let me ask a question.
But go ahead, Guru.
What's going on?
Before you go to Bonte, did you or did you not flex on all of the security guards after an and one against the juvenile detention center kids?
Hey, when I heard the whistle and then you said, how did he go in? It was a nice left. You left that off. Bonte, I felt like I was in the car. The whistle blew. I might have flexed. But Steiny, don't give up on me. I'm not that dude, man. I play my ass off, and I'm a team player, man. Come on,
hey, Goo.
Man. Pop
Goo.
Like,
Guru, you're all right.
Wow.
Hey, right, Goo, that wasn't me.
For myself, man.
Goo, it hey, wasn't me. It wasn't me, Goo. I love you.
I heard it all. Pops heard it all. And then Steiny was
Bonte
like,
did have a point.
Him. That hurt the most, Steiny.
Okay. All right.
And you know what?
You
I take that back. I take – I will – I okay. I still – hey, Goo, how's everything going? Like, when, seriously, you know, when we say you're not in, just tell people, you know, what's going on with you health-wise and stuff.
No, everything's going good. It's just
cool.
Being supportive with my pop. So he's had a couple appointments, and I'm with him. We've been eating tomatoes, keeping 6 feet. We've been eating tomatoes in the garage. Listening to you guys, but he got a chuckle out of that. And the worst part of everything, and Butch, I got to give you credit real quick. I'll end it with this. You kind of gave me love for my game. Bonte was laughing. It wasn't too much slander in there, but I wanted the ball, and I felt like there was a guru cam, and you guys were stalling me out on purpose to see my reaction so you could talk about me. I need my point guard, Nash. I didn't have Nash, and next time I will. When there'll be a next time.
This is basketball.
Hey, I actually have a question for you, Goo, and I'm actually serious.
So during
the shelter in place coronavirus, I know you and your dad are hunters. I would think that you could actually hunt during this time. Is yes or no?
I'm gonna say where's that drop?
Nothing's
jumping off. You can't hunt right now, Steiny.
Is it deer season right now?
No, it's not deer season.
Well, what is it? It's always some kind of season. Grouse?
Deer season grouse? Start kick up like the end of June, July. And then we go to Angels Camp. They call that D5, fellas. That's our hunting zone. So you get your little tag, and then you get out there 5 in the morning.
All right.
Pops, anyway.
I mean, hell.
I
half
don't
the
want to hijack the show. I had to speak up for myself.
All right.
Pops, stay on.
I'm so sorry that I passed along that news from Phil Handy that he called you Dennis Rodman. I am terrible. I shouldn't have done that, Goo.
Compliment. No,
yeah, no, he knows.
He told me.
Goo.
Steiny, is that not a compliment, Rodman?
Yeah. No, that's a compliment.
Oh, hey, it is a compliment. Oh, it's a big-time compliment.
Just, he just wishes he hadn't given you the big head.
Leave you with this, Steiny. In your face, Chasky, real quick, Phil Handy also called me in front of Steiny's face on air, Bill Lambeer. That's an enforcer.
That's a bad man.
He's also the most disliked player in league history.
Hey, Goo, when we're shooting hoops.
Excuse me. Well, you got me there.
We're shooting hoops at the juvenile detention center, and we think it's just going to be a light little pickup game. And when all the guards came out and all the faculty and the kids came out in full uniform, be honest, we were all like, oh, we're getting ourselves into a legitimate game here.
Dude, real quick, I'm going to leave you with this. I felt like Julius Erving in the fish to say Pittsburgh. I was like, this is a joke. All right, y'all take it easy, man.
All right, Goo.
Oh, my Lord.
I love you.
Oh, man.
All right, you guys,
I knew it was happening.
You guys owe me money. I had him calling in. Two of you guys said no. I'll take my money now.
In fairness, I texted him to call in to defend himself.
Oh, man.
The only sport I care about seeing Guru play basketball.
Well, here's hard part. He'll never show up. He'll give you all these excuses on why he can't come. My sister's cousin's best friend's mom hurt her ankle, and I got to take her to the doctors. It's like, come on, Goo, show up.
Hey, listen, one thing we're doing, and it's coming up in 10 minutes, and we've been doing this periodically. We've been bringing on some of our clients at the station and talking about what's going on with their business and if, you know, how it can help the listener. So in 10 minutes, we're going to have Scott Hansen from Allworth Financial on, and we're going to talk about some economic things for about 5 or 10 minutes with what's going on with the coronavirus. He's a senior partner at Allworth Financial. He's a valued partner of ours. And we're going to talk about stuff that a lot of our listeners are going to want to know about, stuff like unemployment insurance, small business loans that are available to small businesses that they may not be aware of. We're going to talk to Scott in about 10 minutes. So what I want to do is I want to put either move Shasky Shuffle to 1:30 or, yeah, we'll move it to 1:30 because a couple other things. You know what's amazing? You just put on television, like NBA TV, you start watching a game, you see two things, and you're thinking, I could do a segment on that. And the two things I saw were, so the game that's on right now, you guys probably, it's Dallas against the Kings from,
'03.
I don't know, one of those 2003. Years.
Western Conference Finals, 03.
Weber's hurt.
Game after Weber got hurt.
You have it on there, Kyle?
Yeah, I sure do.
So the one I watched two possessions, and my first thought was like, you know what? That's right. Doug Christie could defend.
He was a
yes.
Doug Christie was a really good defender. He was guarding Nash, and dude, Nash had to go to work to get by Christie.
Yeah. It was good that he had Nick Van Exel on the side because I think Nick Van Exel in that series really went off on the Kings.
He went crazy.
Nick Van Exel, that was like his last ride.
Every time I look
those
up,
Kings teams, those Kings teams were so loaded. Gerald Wallace is like the 12th man on some of those teams. Those teams were loaded.
Yeah.
That was
Turkoglu didn't play much on those teams.
Nah, well, Peja.
And you know what's funny? He was my number two guy. He knew Turkoglu. And you know what? You want to talk about a guy that I thought was – way overrated.
He had some good moments in Orlando, though.
Yeah, I guess. But
he lit up the Cavaliers in that Eastern Conference Finals. And all I remember from that series from Hedo is that inside the NBA was in the locker rooms before the game. And Hedo had this thing where he was eating pizza before the game. And he was sitting there eating a slice of pepperoni before every game of that series. And I was just like, this is what we're doing here? Who cares?
Hey, back to Doug Christie's wife for a second. I don't know, have you guys ever seen Basketball Wives? My wife loves this show.
I'm aware of it. Sure.
Yeah, my girl does too. My girl watches it.
She plays as good of defense off the court as Doug does on the court. She's an elite, elite defender.
She had a monster reputation. She used to travel with. I'm sure Kyle knows about a lot of.
She
this
was
stuff.
In the in the tunnel.
So when I was at KHTK in Sacramento, Doug does a show there now, and I'm at the Starbucks right by the station getting a coffee. Well, Doug comes through the drive-thru, and all the baristas start freaking out. And they're like, oh my God, that's Doug Christie. They go over to the drive-thru, and they're all like looking. And I was like, oh, are you guys big basketball fans? And they were like, no, we love his wife.
Yeah.
No, but that's she had a reputation. She traveled with him on the road. Yep. I mean, they were...
I have
I don't
a
know
wife.
She's very protective of her husband.
Yeah.
I guess that's the way we could put it, right?
I like Doug Christie, and my girl watches the show, and there are some people who are not big fans of Doug Christie's wife on that show. It's pretty –
Shauna O'Neal?
I'm not going to say it. Yeah.
Shauna, whatever it is. See, I like
it. She's a piece of work, too.
I like her. I like Shaq's ex-wife.
Yes, she's got smart.
I think she's pretty cool, actually.
She's really smart, yeah.
Yeah, I like
her. And she bounced back way more than Shaq did, to be honest with you, post-marriage.
I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means.
She's been more successful.
Oh, I got you. But, yeah, I liked her. I liked her a lot. Anyway, Hedo Turkoglu, you know what's going on with him now?
No.
What's that?
He's the Kyle, do you know this?
Yeah, isn't he involved in, like, Turkish politics?
Yeah, he's an advisor to the president of Turkey. And he is a little bit conservative. Let's put it that way.
The Bill Bradley of Turkey?
No, he's the other way. Enes Kanter would be Bill Bradley in terms of politics. He'd be progressive. Hedo Turkoglu is extremely right wing, like scary, scary right wing. And in fact, those two, Kanter and Turkoglu, they got a feud right now because Kanter has been outspoken about Turkey and its authoritarian regime, period. And he doesn't go back to Turkey because he fears for his safety and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And so
he didn't go to Canada, remember?
Turkoglu.
He wouldn't even go to the road trip to Toronto.
Yeah, and Turkoglu's an advisor to the president, and Kanter calls him a lapdog, and it's strange.
Did you see Enos Kanter eating food off of his – it wasn't a Peloton, but it was like a one of those treadmills. He was literally eating food that was coming off the treadmill. It was like, what are you doing? Like, you – in this corona sanitation world that we live in, you're going to be doing that? It just – I don't know. The guy is – he's a little out there for me.
Yeah, he is. He's – I hear you. It's like reminds me of the movie you ever see the movie Body Heat with Kathleen Turner and William Hurt? It's like an old-time classic, actually. And there's just a scene in there where William Hurt goes for a run, and he runs like 5 miles. He finally gets done, and he lights up a cigarette. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, all right. That's what I thought of when you were saying
the Vladdy.
Kanter eating off the right off the treadmill or whatever it is. So that's pretty funny. So let's see what else. Oh, so anyway, yeah, Doug Christie. I'm watching him. Dang, he did a nice job on Steve Nash in that series. And Bonte, you're right. Nick Van Exel was phenomenal in that series. Just almost won it for him single handedly. If you look at his numbers.
Yeah, nah, he was really good under Don Nelson and Donnie Nelson there on the bench. And you see Dale Harris on the staff, with the Dallas Mavericks. And the ironic thing was Chris Webber on the other side in a three-piece suit because in game two, I believe, that's when he tore up his knee. And he never was quite the same after that injury. I believe it was a meniscus injury in his knee. And Sacramento was really good, man. They had won game one. Game three actually was really fascinating. Remember that? It went to double overtime. But Van Exel was really good, and they ended up losing to the Spurs. But, man, those Sacramento Kings teams, they were fun. You talk about a team that was probably before its time. Man, you had those teams in this era with them battling the Warriors. They could pass. They could shoot. They could defend. They were really good.
All right, it is a Warriors Wednesday brought to you by Friedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922, and by Great Clips. Great haircuts start here. All right, we're joined right now by Scott Hansen, and Scott is the co-founder and senior partner of Allworth Financial. Scott is a valued partner of 95.7 The Game, and we wanted to bring him on for a few minutes. First of all, Scott, how are you doing? How's your family doing? How's your business doing during this tough time?
Well, I appreciate that, Steiny. Yeah, you know, we're all doing fine. Of course, I've got college students home living with us, and like most people, trying to adapt to a new normal for however long that's going to be. And I think business is just fine. We have a couple hundred people on our team, and we've all had to figure out how to work remotely in a very short period of time, but it's working great, and we're up and operational. So,
yeah, one of the things, Scott, you guys do, and it's what you specialize on, is kind of pre-retirement, but you're also experts in all financial matters. So I was hoping you could talk a little bit about where we are at right now, economy-wise, in this country, knowing that the road ahead is going to be tough. Kind of what help could you give anybody who's listening, who may have just been unemployed, gotten laid off, furloughed, et cetera?
Yeah, well, I think two questions. One is, how's the economy? I think if I speak about that, I don't know how helpful that'll be.
Okay.
It doesn't look pretty, be real frank.
Right.
The challenge, of course, is, even when we can start going back to our normal life, what does that really look like? When is travel going to be back to its full capacity? And those other questions I think we all have, and particularly if we follow the news and we understand the flattening of the curve, well, then what happens after that? So I think it's a big question mark still on what this means for the economy. And fortunately, there's a lot of programs out in place. You know, what's so interesting about this, it's the government stepped in and put all these businesses out of business, right? You're a restaurant, you need to shut down. I mean, they just came in through and shut down a bunch of businesses. And so, you know, it's really, if the government's going to take this approach, they also need to take an approach and help out, which they have with the last stimulus package, brought in increased unemployment benefits, small business loans, but we'll see some more packages. So I think the government's doing everything in its power to ensure that workers can stay afloat so that when things get back to normal, they can pursue their lives again.
Let's talk about two specific things. One is unemployment. Obviously, what can you give us a kind of a the files for unemployment are record setting. They're beyond record setting. So what advice do you have for people who may have just filed?
Yeah, in unemployment, we saw 13 million people, new people in the unemployment lines. If you think back to the Great Depression, unemployment was about 29%. It could get worse before it gets better. There's a lot of companies that are just trying to hold on still, and it could get worse before it gets better. The thing to remember is this too shall pass. We will get through this, whether it's a vaccine's going to come along, or we're going to have some better treatments, or the virus is going to eventually die out. So at some point in time, we'll get through this. But I think if people focus too much on the short term, particularly on the economic numbers, it can be paralyzing and demotivating. And I think it's important that we got to look beyond that. Like, a lot of industries, they're going to survive. They're going to come back. This is just going to be a really tough period.
And I want to ask you specifically about the stimulus package the government just passed in terms of what it does for small business, because we talked a little briefly before this, and you had said that maybe some there's a lot of programs that can be taken advantage of by small business, but there may be some red tape, let's say, to go through, or some steps.
Yeah, I think the challenge is there's $350 billion to be loaned out to small businesses, and so suddenly in about 4 or 5 days, we need to have programs in place to distribute those dollars and get the proper paperwork in place and make sure that companies qualify. And so all the financial institutions that do small business loans, they've been overwhelmed. So I've got family members that were calling me over the weekend, like, Scott, how do I apply for these things? Because they're getting shut down everywhere. And that's the challenge we're in now. We'll get through this. So I was talking to somebody yesterday, a small business owner, and they're panicking. I'm like, just keep applying. If need be, contact your congressman. Put more pressure on things. We'll get some of these programs through. Because the government definitely feels a responsibility here, and they are trying to help, and they've got programs in place. It just might take a few more days than what people are thinking otherwise. And if you've got a business, just even a sole proprietorship, and you've been impacted at all, take a look at some of these loans. Because even I was talking to somebody, a very small organization, one person, they'll end up with about $20,000 of extra money as a result through the forgiven part of the loan. Because these loans can be forgiven if used
right.
for payroll and for rent and some of the other things. So I think every small business needs to take a look at it.
All right, you're listening to Scott Hansen. He's the co-founder and senior partner of Allworth Financial. And Scott's a valued partner in 95.7 The Game. Wanted to bring him on for a few minutes. He's got expertise in a lot of financial areas. And the one thing you guys do specialize in, and by the way, I really appreciate you coming on here and talking about the situation as a whole rather than just what you guys do specifically. But what you do specifically is kind of, we were joking yesterday, if someone's nearing retirement, what do you think they should do right now, or what could they do in terms of their 401k? And I said, yeah, that's kind of me. Should I be doing right now?
Yeah, someone joked with me the other day. They said, retirement was such a 1990s thing.
That's true.
In fact, the last 20 years, we had the Great Recession. We had before that the .com and 9/11, and so I think it's been a challenging time. Things look fantastic, and then suddenly something comes out of the blue like this and whacks us all. So, retirement is still feasible for a lot of people. I think the important thing, if you're still working and saving your 401k, if you're buying stocks in your 401k, if you're not selling them today, all you're seeing is a temporary decline in value. You're only going to have a loss when you sell, when you cash in or throw in the towel. So if you're a long-term investor, if you've got years away from retirement, in some ways you should be happy about lower prices because it enables you to buy more shares and you're contributing to your 401k on a weekly basis. If you're nearing retirement, it's important to make sure that you don't have all your assets in stocks. You need to make sure you have some diversification. And the right kind of thing, the kind of approach we take with our clients is to make sure that there's plenty of other assets, plenty of other income sources that aren't tied to the stock market. So you should be able to go at least 5 years before having to sell any stocks. And if you look over history, we've gone through bad times before. They've always been temporary, and the economy's always rebounded and gone up and grown beyond where it was before, right? It's always gone to new highs. The stock market's gone to new highs. I suspect that'll happen again. And so if you can have the right kind of longer-term approach and not get too caught up in the daily news and too freaked out about your current statement, I think you can have a longer-term perspective and be a better investor. But the key is not focusing on the short term. That's what's so hard to do in times like this.
Scott, if I asked you, is there anything else you want to share with your listeners about what's going on right now in your expert opinion?
Well, this is temporary, and we'll get right through this. First of all, the virus isn't going to kill us all. It's a terrible thing, and we might all have loved ones that are going to perish from it. It's a horrible thing, but if you still look statistic-wise, it's a very small percentage of the population. It's not impacting our young children, which is, thank God. So we'll survive this, and the economy will survive this. What's so interesting about this country? We're either from somewhere else, or we're second or third or fourth generation from somewhere else. If you think about what it takes for someone to leave their homeland and come to the United States to start up a new life, I mean, that's all in our DNA here. We are an incredible country, and we've got the times like this where it's highly innovative. There's going to be new technologies, going to be new types of industries that are going to grow up as a result of this. We will be a stronger nation when we get through this, and we will be a better nation when we get through this. I truly believe that.
Scott, thank you so much for coming on, and it's a great place to end. Well said, and a positive thought for sure. Thank you so much.
All right. Hey, great being with you, Stan.
All right, that's Scott Hansen. If you have any financial questions, you can visit Scott's website, allworthfinancial.com, and they have a full COVID-19 financial guide for you. Thank you so much, Scott Hansen from Allworth Financial. All right, we come back. We're talking about the Shasky Shuffle, not to be confused with the Icky Shuffle. It's coming up next.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Alrighty, welcome back. It is a Warriors Wednesday brought to you by Porsche Walnut Creek, a Michael Stead dealership. And also a reminder, you can take 95.7 The Game with you anytime, any place. All you got to do is download the radio.com app, search for 95.7 The Game, add it to your favorites. You don't have to miss a second. Whether you're in your car, whether you're at home, whether you're at work, and we got the great rewind feature. That's the catalyst, the rewind feature, I believe. It lets you catch any moment in the last 24 hours if you miss something. Also, just talk to your smart speaker. Say, hey, Alexa, hey, Google, play 95.7 The Game, and it will play it for you. We've pushed the Shasky Shuffle back. And I love the Shasky Shuffle. So I want to do the Shasky Shuffle, but I feel like there's eight what is it called? Like loose ends out there. So, but I don't want to get, you know how we get, we'll get into the loose ends and then it's over. And then let's do the Shasky Shuffle. Take it away, Joe.
All right. So I've already said this all week. We're pulling out a random card from my massive card collection. We all grew up collecting sports cards. So let's rummage through my treasure chest and pull out a random card. Rummaging. I don't like that one. Let's rummage a little more. I'm going to rummage. All right. I have got a 1990 score Bubba Parris 49er card. Do we remember the 49er, Bubba Parris? Now, before we continue, I just want to say his daughters might actually be more famous throughout the country than even he is.
The twins. Yeah, the twins played at Piedmont. They won a couple NorCal championships and went on to Oklahoma. Bubba Parris, it's funny you bring him up.
Both in the WNBA,
massive lineman. Yep. Massive lineman. Number 77 with the 49ers. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I was watching Super Bowl 23 the other day, and he replaced Steve Wallace early in that football game against the Bengals. Steve Wallace, double helmet, got hurt in the first quarter. Bubba Parris replaces him. One of the first, like, really massive linemen in the NFL, to my recollection. Bubba Parris, of course, he was on KPIX for so long, doing the post-game shows on Channel 5 after the 49er game. So Bubba Parris, an icon around these parts. Of course, we remember the big Bubba Parris, number 77, former lineman with the Niners.
Well, interestingly, we talked about Parris last week, but...
And then there it is. Parris said, I'm going to take it. Whoa!
Whoa!
Whoa! A kick And then Bubba just laid him out.
Wait, what happened?
So basically, Dolman and him got into it. But in my mind, I thought like, oh, Bubba Parris lost his cool. Like, I'm thinking Miles Garrett, you know? He ripped the helmet off. He swung at him. He just shoved him and he pushed him around and he kind of went after him after the whistle. But you know how like something in your head sticks in from your childhood and you expect it to be way worse? Then you see it on video and you're like, oh, I don't remember it anything like that. It's totally different.
Which Vikings-Niner game was that?
I don't know. It was from, like, I want to say the late 80s. I want to say it was, like, 88 or 89. I don't know. When was that, guys? Do we have the exact date?
Was it the Steve Young game where he had to run against the Vikings? Was it that game?
I think it was a little after that.
I'll be honest with you.
If you found the video, you should have the date.
All I know is if you guys, if Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky don't know the exact game, I probably don't, to be honest with you, if neither of those guys can come up with it. How about this for worlds colliding? This is all random. Hey, you remembered something about Chris Dolman. We're just I saw Chris Dolman play a lot in high school. I saw
really?
Him play. He played basketball. He's from York, Pennsylvania. He was a beast in high school. And York had
a
really good team.
Him playing basketball?
I saw him play against Sam Bowie once. Think about that.
Ooh.
Chris Dolman went up against Sam Bowie in high school.
Let me ask you about Sam Bowie. I know everybody crushes him to this day. I know everybody crushes. What was Sam Bowie the player before the flame out and the Jordan thing being sandwiched in between him and Akeem?
Well, Sam Bowie was he had great hands. He actually – when I saw him play in high school, he was mostly a face-up guy. He was actually – a really good shooter, mid-range. Then he went in. He was dominant defensively. I would say overall, at least in high school, he was a little bit soft because he was really skinny. He was really skinny as he was coming up through ninth grade. But he was. You know how some guys are 7 feet and they play basketball. Well, he was a basketball player who was 7 feet. So he was just the game I saw him. He played against Williams – one of the games I saw, he played against Williamsport High School. He had 48, and he had 12 dunks. You know, he was just so much bigger than everybody. He was dominant. He was a really good player at Kentucky, really good, but just started breaking down.
So I watched I had to look this up. I watched this program on SEC Network. You know, you fellas know I love my 30 for 30s and the little documentaries. But they had one on Sam Bowie going big. And they had talked about the story of Sam Bowie. And you know what? When I watched that program, I took back the word bust when it came to Sam Bowie. He actually had some nice years. He had some good years in the NBA. Not great. Not great when you talk about getting drafted over Hakeem Olajuwon and Michael Jordan. But he had some years where he averaged 16 and 8, 16 and 10. And just the injuries just caught up to him. Like when I think of a bust, I think of guys like Anthony Bennett. Darko Milicic. Like Bowie had some good years. And he was actually in the league for quite some time. I think he had like 8 to – play for about 8 to 10 years. It's just the injuries caught up to him and he could never stay healthy. But
never.
I would look at Sam Bowie when you really look at the numbers and you look at the games, he wasn't a bust.
Steiny, why is it that I know that there's the bone thing. I understand, like, in Big Continent, Country Reeves, you know, he'd break his feet every single year because his bones weren't big enough for his body. But it just seems like it's a disproportionate injury rate for these top five centers throughout league history, whether it's Greg Oden, Yao Ming, like all of these guys that we put at the top of the draft, it seems like they're disproportionately injured. Ralph Sampson comes to mind, Bill Walton getting hurt. All these big men get hurt. Is it just the hardwood, or is there more to this?
Well, to me, and I might be wrong, Bowie, I want to say, was like a shin or a knee. He may have had, you know, he had the whole gamut, so it may have been foot. I absolutely, positively believe there's something to big men and feet, particularly big men. Like Bowie was on the, you know, the thinner side. You know, like Manute Bol didn't have foot problems, let's say. But, yes, there are way too many big guys. And I'll tell you what, that's why I'm afraid DeMarcus Cousins may be basically done. Now, I hope not, But there's a chance. Yeah. Like I give that a chance that he may never be healthy again. He may hang around for a while. And, of course, the other guy now is Zion. And the thing with Zion is he's different. You know, even like Sabonis and Ilgauskas and all the guys who had injuries, those were plotting guys even. So you would be a plotter and you're still got your foot. You know, if you were big, you had foot problems. What about a guy who's as big as Zion and gets up like he gets up and has to come down?
Right.
I think there's merit to keeping an eye on him.
And the miles on Zion. I was just going to say the miles on Zion is something nobody talks about.
Yeah, the AAU
stuff.
Because
of all the AAU games and all the high-level games he's already played in, I think that's going to catch up. Like, that's why the AAU stuff, it ticks me off when you got these kids playing 5 and 6 games in a day. It's a joke.
Oh, but Bonte, it's not just five or six games in a day, 2 days in a row. Like, that's literally how it is. And then on these piecemeal together courts, like if you go to some of these AAU tournaments, they're literally playing on piecemealed courts so they can have 5, 6, 7 different full courts so that all of these different teams can get accommodated. There's a lot of nuance there. I was going to ask you about Arvydas Sabonis because I saw him with the Trailblazers and I thought he was awesome. Is he the greatest from the block passing big men of all time?
Well, it's interesting you said from the block, because
his back to the basket, he was a great passer.
I don't think we saw the best of Sabonis in the NBA.
No, right? He was like 40.
I mean, he was stuck in Lithuania. Well, I don't know what happened with that. I don't remember, but I heard the best of Sabonis, we didn't even see him in his prime. He was done by then.
He was nice.
And when I mean done, like, he was still nice.
Yeah, old.
I want to say about 10, 15 years ago, I was writing a lot of blogs, and I created a blog of the top 10 passing big men of all time. And Sabonis was definitely 1, 2, or 3.
Wow.
So I had, like, the guys I remember being on the list, I don't know if I'm going to have to do all 10 now, but Walton, Sabonis, Divots. I'm not sure if I put Weber in there because I was just doing centers. You know,
Brad Miller?
No, he didn't make it, but I look back at some numbers. There was a guy that used to play for the Kansas City Kings, Sam Lacy. Really good numbers passing wise. Jack Sikma was a really good passer.
Sikma.
I think you have to put Chamberlain in there. He led the league in assists.
What about Wes Unseld?
I'm not sure if Unseld was on the list or not.
Passer.
Yeah, but I think I put I think I put a Unseld on there. See, I consider Pau Gasol a power forward. Unseld, I think I put on there for the outlet pass. I'm trying to think who else I had on there. Jokic would be on there now for sure. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was actually a very good passer. He just didn't have to pass that much. Hey, by the way,
what about Shaq?
He was okay.
Shaq was underrated.
It's okay.
No, I thought Shaq was underrated with passing.
Yeah, he was okay.
I agree with that.
He was okay, but when he got the ball, he was looking to score. Sabonis was looking to pass.
Move,
even Walton.
Dunk.
Yeah.
Walton would
yeah.
rather pass than shoot.
Yeah.
So I'm watching what the heck was I watching the other day? Now I lost my train of thought. It was something about we were just talking
Tiger
about.
King?
No, it was a basketball thing. Oh well. No, I didn't watch Tiger King. Not gonna watch Tiger King. Now you got me off the subject. Bubba Paris. What was on 2006?
The 2013 Game 6, the Ray Allen game, will be airing tonight on ESPN.
Okay.
Ooh.
One of the clutch shots of all time.
Sure. Is that the greatest perimeter defensive team ever? Dwayne Wade and LeBron on the same team?
Like, I think it's got to be
not at
Bulls.
That stage.
Is it Pippen and Jordan? Yeah,
it's Pippen and Jordan.
Well, I'm just asking. On the perimeter, too, at that.
That's what I'm saying,
year, right?
Well,
and
because
Chalmers
I thought
wasn't
Wade
that bad
was,
defensively.
Chalmers wasn't that bad, but I thought Wade was past his prime at that point. He was starting to battle some injuries. He was kind of coasting a little on D. LeBron was definitely at the apex of his career when it came to defense on the perimeter. They were good, but Pippen and Jordan, man.
See, that's the thing about
Miami. They're on another level.
They got the best of the – like, LeBron's been amazing. I'm not here to say that he had, you know, bad years, but they got the best – of LeBron as far as his peak physical abilities. And I feel like the Warriors, in the same sense, got the peak of Kevin Durant's physicality as far as him being the best athlete possible.
Yeah.
And not that LeBron's not incredible and hasn't had an unbelievable third chapter, because he absolutely has, or fourth, whatever he's on now. I'm just saying, like, he was peak LeBron athlete when he was with the Miami Heat. He was unbelievable.
It felt like LeBron allowed those guys in Miami to really coach him up, especially on the defensive end.
Spoelstra.
Spoelstra, one of the most underrated coaches.
The most underrated coach.
David Fizdale. Fizdale was an assistant. Yep. He was down there. The players really like Fizdale. You hear Dwayne Wade talk about him all the time. And then, of course, Pat Riley. When you have a guy in Pat Riley who was there at every practice and has won championships, you know, he may not get along with everybody, but there's something to say about having Pat Riley in that system as well, to where LeBron's like, okay, I can't dog it on this end. I got to give it to him. I got to play all out. And I think maybe there's something to that with Kevin Durant playing with guys like Iguodala and Draymond Green and, of course, Ron Adams, a longtime assistant coach of the Warriors.
All right, a couple things real quick going through on the text line. And by the way, I gotta say the Bulls. The reason the Bulls is because they had
and Ron Harper.
Ron Harper, 6'6". Jordan was 6'6". Pippen, 6'9". And here's the thing. Freaking Rodman could come out in the perimeter and guard anybody.
Yes.
I mean, you want to talk about a guy who would have been the – see, okay, in today's game, you would not play pick and roll. Like, if the Warriors were going up against a team that had Dennis Rodman, you would not run a pick and roll with Rodman's guy. You just wouldn't.
No.
Like, and I'm not saying Steph would, but you wouldn't run a pick and roll to get Steph, to get Rodman on Steph.
Mm-hmm.
But forget Steph. Rodman on Baron Davis. There are other players that you would have so much greater advantage of scoring on in that situation. Rodman was unbelievable.
This is where I love the text line.
Kukoc was nasty. Kukoc
couldn't
offense.
Play D.
No,
but he
I'm
couldn't
talking
play
on
defense,
offense.
Though.
I loved offense, him on he was offense. Crafty. He was nice. If he's your fourth guy, you could do a lot worse than that.
Yeah, no doubt. I remember when he came into Croatia, though. He got hyped up as if he was the European Larry Bird.
When Jordan and Pippen clamped down on him in 92, and they're like, we're going to show this guy. That's not fair.
Yeah, but I'm not even talking about that. I'll talk about when he joined the Bulls, and because part of the reason why they did that was because they're like, who is this guy coming over from Croatia? Let's check this dude out. But when I remember when NBC would just pump him up, and he'd be like, all right, he's not the European Larry Bird. He's a nice player. He has a three-pointer. He can handle the ball a bit. But I thought Kukoc was a bit overrated. I honestly, I thought he was a one-dimensional player. Real quick, though, 408, Nate McMillan and Gary Payton. Underrated perimeter
defenders with the Seattle Sonics. Hawkins and Detlef Schrempf. They had a squad back then.
They did. A couple other Andrew Bogut was definitely on my list of top 10. Somebody reminded me on the text line about him. Andrew Bogut was one of the most fun players I've ever watched in college. He was fun to watch at Utah. A couple other things real quick. We've got, so we talked about the horse in the NBA. Somebody says, remember the home run derby in baseball? Absolutely. Apparently, Bubba Parris, according to the 415, signs autographs every Saturday at the Walmart in American Canyon. That's according to the 415. Okay.
That's pretty
cool. That's awesome. If that's true, which I have no reason to believe it isn't.
Every week, that's dedication.
Talking about losing
value on those cards that he's signing.
Man, Bubba Parris must be bored, man. He must be fun. Not to throw shade on him, man, but every Saturday, Bubba? It's a lot of dedication right there.
Yeah, you know, maybe, you know what? Sometimes you got to do it for the kids, even. Even for the kids, no doubt about it.
Or if you're Pete Rose, you got to do it for the money.
You leave Pete Rose alone, Shasky.
Exactly.
Hey, my dad went and saw him. That's one of my dad's favorite players of all time.
Don't talk about him.
In Vegas, and they sat down and had a long conversation, the two of them, and held up the line, and my dad got yelled at by everyone else in line.
The 2016 Warriors were the greatest perimeter squad with Draymond, Clay, and KD.
But
you got to throw Steph in there.
That's
where you lose it. Listen, I'm not saying – but when we're talking defense only – when you put Ron Harper defensively up against Steph Curry, I mean, you're already starting at a monster disadvantage. So then you go to two guard. You know what? Jordan was a better defender than Clay.
Exactly. Yes.
So now you're in real trouble.
He was defensive player of the year.
Exactly. So now you go to the three spot. Well, now you got KD. Okay. Well, You're going up against Pippen. Pippen was better defensively than KD.
Yes.
Nope. And now you go small forward, Rodman and Draymond. And even if I'm going to give you a draw on that, which I wouldn't, I might. But
I wouldn't.
Three out of four.
Rodman was a better defender.
Draymond's
a Rodman was a better defender. Rodman, and that's no shade at Draymond Green. Rodman was a better defender. And real quick, people forget how good Ron Harper was in those Cleveland days.
I'm not ready to concede that. That Rodman was a better defensive player than Draymond.
Didn't Rodman have like eight straight years?
They were very different, though. They were very different, though, Steiny. Like, well, Draymond is a fantastic help defender. He is so good at communicating and rotating over. They were very different stylistically.
Here's the issue. I don't consider Dennis Rodman getting 17 rebounds a game defense.
No.
I just don't. I don't. But, listen, they're both terrific defenders. The other thing about – how much time we got? About 20? All right, we can wrap it up. We can wrap it up. Coming up next is Rado, Kolsky, Damon Bruce. They have joining them today will be just a plethora of guests and just real good people to talk to. And Rado will be there. Have a good one, everybody.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.